Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, October 23rd. You know what I'm going to say. Happy Resurrection Day. We're reading from the NIV. I also wanted to mention to you, I forgot Mark Rector's birthday on Thursday, October 20th. So happy late birthday to you, Mark, and thank you for your ministry at Mountain Brook Baptist. All right, I got to admit to you guys that I am not excited about reading our passage from Judges today. We're in Judges chapter 11, verse 12 through 28. In the book of Judges, we are splitting up the story of Jephthah into 3 days. And today, we're going to learn about maybe a battle that Jephthah has. And then tomorrow, it's probably one of my least favorite passages of Scripture. Ultimately, I think what happens in Jephthah's life is he makes a rash vow. But we'll get there. Let's start in Judges chapter 11, starting in verse 12 and going through verse 28. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the Ammonite king with a question. What do you have against us that you have attacked our country? The king of the Ammonites answered Jephthah's messengers. When Israel came up out of Egypt, they took away my land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, all the way to the Jordan. Now give it back, peaceably. Jephthah sent back messengers to the Ammonite king, saying, This is what Jephthah says. Israel did not take the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came up out of Egypt, Israel went through the desert to the Red Sea and on to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, Give us permission to go through your country. But the king of Edom would not listen. He sent also to the king of Moab, and he refused. So Israel stayed at Kadesh. Next, they traveled through the desert, skirted the lands of Edom and Moab, passed along the eastern side of the country of Moab, and camped on the other side of the Arnon. They did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was its border. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon, and said to him, Let us pass through your country to our own place. Sihon, however, did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. He mustered all his men and encamped at Jahaz and fought with Israel. Then the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his men into Israel's hand, and they defeated them. Israel took over all the land of the Amorites who lived in that country, capturing all of it from the Arnon to the Jabbok and from the desert to the Jordan. Now, since the Lord, the God of Israel, has driven the Amorites out before his people Israel, what right do you have to take it over? Will you not take what your God Chemosh gives you? Likewise, whatever the Lord our God has given us, we will possess. Are you better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever quarrel with Israel or fight with them? For 300 years, Israel occupied Heshbon, Aroer, the surrounding settlements, and all the towns along the Arnon. Why didn't you retake them during that time? I have not wronged you, but you are doing me wrong by waging war against me. Let the Lord, the judge, decide the dispute this day between the Israelites and the Ammonites. The king of Ammon, however, paid no attention to the message Jephthah sent him. So I guess tomorrow we'll read more about what happens next. Let's turn on over, though, to the Psalms, as is our daily rhythm. And today we're in Psalm 142. A Maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. And now let's turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. And although the story of Jephthah is not a favorite of mine, Jesus being anointed at Bethany is. And so I'm grateful that we get to read this story together today. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. "But not during the feast," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." While Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I am struck by the fact that Jesus said the woman was preparing him for burial. And in my study Bible, there is a chart of the last week of Christ. So we've already read about the triumphal entry. That would have been Sunday of the week of Christ's death. And then we read about Jesus cursing the fig tree. That would have been on Monday. He also cleared the temple, we think, on Monday. And then in today's passage, the authority of Jesus being questioned, that likely happened on Tuesday, the same day that Jesus was anointed at Bethany. We'll read about the Last Supper tomorrow, and that would have happened on Thursday, and then the Garden of Gethsemane on Thursday, Jesus' arrest and trial Thursday late into the night and Friday morning. And then we know that Jesus was crucified on Friday, he was buried, and then on Sunday, Resurrection Day, he was raised. So I just want to thank the Lord today for the blessing it is to read about his gift to us, his sacrifice for us. And I want to thank the Lord for the reminders of the anointing at Bethany. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for the reminders of your resurrection and for the gift that it is that you gave of yourself so that we might live and have restored relationship with the Father. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you, Jesus, are sitting at the right hand of the Father even now, contending on our behalf. You are not like one of the judges in the book of Judges that has flaws. You are flawless and limitless. We thank you, Lord, for the story of the woman who anointed you at Bethany. You are worth the high price. Help us, Lord, to refocus our attention on your importance and the fact that you deserve all. We praise you on this Sunday. We ask, Lord, that your kingdom might come in the worship today and your will be done. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.